Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 9. "Road trip," said Dick. It was after 1 in the morning when they reached the motor pool. There were a couple of 2-seater olive drab golf carts and no security around. The carts parked along the street were used by people at all hours of the day and night, so they often did not have a full charge on them. Besides, the community would miss them. "I have bottles of water. Here, put a couple in your cart." "Wish we were cruising in the Grape Ape," said Kyle. "Oh, yeah. I can just imagine the cave police trying to catch that thing down here," laughed Donna. "Baby, the regular police have a hard time catching that beast," said Dick, waving his hand in the air like a DJ. "Let's go. I need to feel the wind in my face," said Katie. "She okay?" asked Kyle. "The baby's messing with her chemistry, you know. It's cool to watch her change into a mama. Let's get moving," said Dick. The four climbed into their golf carts and lowered the windshields to feel the wind. They had a top speed of 12 miles an hour, but it felt good to glide silently through the twilight air of the Site R facility. There were 2 main roads at right angles to one another which connected on the front of the water treatment plant. The blast doors for C and D portal were the furthest away down a straight road cut through the green granite far below the forest above. There was another, smaller tunnel that connected to that road and drove for 6.7 miles to Camp David. It was just wide enough for 2 carts and was only illuminated by yellow floor LEDs along both sides about 8 feet apart. It was the president's entrance to Site R, and it was guarded on the outside by a small and very special force of elite fighters that lived in a complex of 5 trailers based about 200 yards away from the entrance. The barracks trailer was nested between a cafeteria trailer, the president's quarters, a guest trailer for men, and one for women. The road system through the vast forests of Camp David had never been mapped, for security reasons. There, the private walking and horseback trails for the president and his guests. The facility was built during the Second World War and was enjoyed by presidents ever since, except for President Obama. It had remained guarded after the assassination attempt by General Cabarrus and his small band of mercenaries. President Riker decided to keep it secure, even though the grounds would have made a very decent location for refugees from the coastal areas. He had to keep his team safe from the dark forces that sought their destruction many times. "Wow, I never thought of speeding along at 12 miles an hour would feel so good," said Kyle. "You want to drive, Katie?" "Driving this slow causes me physical pain," said Dick. They slowed the cart as Dick stood up and let Katie slide into the driver's seat. He sat down and put his feet up on the durable fiberglass dashboard and felt the cool and dry cave air flap his pant legs as they hummed along the access road toward the president's tunnel. They had come on that way once when Cabarrus's little army was trying to kill them. His forces had positioned themselves inside both entrances they knew about, but the smaller, unmapped tunnel connected behind their forces and allowed them to reach Building E, where the Emergency Alert System headquarters was located. A cold chill ran through him as he recalled Agent Smith being shot in the shoulder by the general just before Rhino put him down. "You all right?" asked Katie. "Me? Yeah. I was just thinking about the last time we went down this tunnel." "You had to be there," said Dick. "I heard about it from Lisa. I'm glad I wasn't there," said Katie. "I wasn't afraid of anything before that," said Dick, looking straight ahead with his arms on his knees. "And now?" asked Katie. "Now? I'm afraid of everything," he said, looking at her and sliding his hand on top of her thigh. She put her right hand on top of his and squeezed it. She turned her head quickly to look into his eye. "It's okay. I'll protect you," she said, smiling with the tender moisture welling in her eyes. Is that chemical? He asked with a small smile. No, baby. It's real. I love you, she said, sending him a kiss across the space between them. Hey, it's up here pretty soon. It's just a small opening, and it's hard to see from the road unless you're right on it. Kind of an optical thing, said Dick. I'm going slow, said Katie, whining a little. Oh, don't remind me. Jesus, it should be a crime to drive this slow. Hey, buddy, it's up here on the right, shouted Dick across to the other cart, riding beside them on the left. I'll follow your lead, responded Kyle. Hey, were you racing us? Asked Dick, smiling at Kyle. Hell yeah. She's too fast for me, said Kyle, laughing at Dick. There's the opening, said Katie. Okay, slow down. Oh, shit, I can't believe I just said that. Turn right in that opening. It's just wide enough for one cart. Looks like a doorway, almost. There's a little curb to go over, said Dick, as the cart bumped over the curb and entered the tunnel. It's dark in here, said Katie. I know, but when you top that little rise, you'll see the floor lighting, said Dick. Oh, wow, that is quite the optical effect, said Katie. Just stay in between the yellow lights and don't get freaked out, said Dick. What do you mean? Asked Katie as she began to pick up speed again with Kyle close behind her. The lights converge up there, so it looks like you're going through a time tunnel or something. I thought I was driving upside down the last time I was in here, said Dick, chuckling to her. It's so skinny. We're not going to hit anything, are we? Asked Katie. Not unless there's been a cave-in or something. With all the quaking lately, maybe that could be an issue. Why don't we hook up our seatbelts? Said Dick, feeling concerned for her pregnancy. She reached down and extended the belt to the center, and Dick buckled it for her and then buckled his own. What about the headlights? Asked Katie. No, keep them off. The black stone doesn't light up anyway, and we don't want anyone out there to see or hear us coming, said Dick. Well, now you have me scared, said Katie, letting off the throttle a little. Spooky, huh? Just keep focused, but don't stare. Kind of like getting zoned when it's snowing at night, said Dick. No, it's like I'm on a runway taking off, but I never get off the ground, said Katie. There you go. All we need are some good tunes, said Dick, pretending like he was playing the drums on his knees, still high, with his feet on the dash. Those guys look like they're having a blast up there, said Donna to Kyle as she hugged up close to him. I think he's keeping her planted. This is a weird tunnel. It plays some optical shit with your brain. I have them to focus on, but they have those endless yellow dots, said Kyle, gripping the wheel and trying to stay close enough to see their dark green cart in the darkness. How long is it? Asked Donna. It's 6.7 miles to the door, said Kyle. Well, I hope there's a potty there, said Donna. I kinda doubt it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. We have bottles, said Kyle, putting his arm around her shoulder and feeling her shiver. Can we put the windshield up? Asked Donna. Yeah, just reach up and pull it back and it will snap into place, said Kyle. Got it. Much better, said Donna, sliding back into his arm and putting her leg next to his. Wish this thing had a good stereo, said Kyle. The two carts pushed silently through the pitch blackness for half an hour with nothing but a seemingly endless path of evenly spaced yellow LEDs against the ground at the bottom of the smooth walls on either side. The tunnel was made too narrow for a regular vehicle, and the ceiling was only 8 feet high, but it was invisible, giving the illusion that the cart was flying through space. We should be getting close now. Slow down a little. There's a sort of parking area with charging stations off to the left up here somewhere. I can see the gap in the yellow lights up there, said Dick, pointing ahead for Katie. I see it. Okay, you want me to pull in there? Asked Katie. That would be cool. We have gone about 10 miles so far, and I don't know what the range on these puppies is, said Dick. There it is. Oh, hey, there are 2 spaces in there. I'll just pull in here, she said, parking the cart and switching off the key. That's weird. All the carts should be here, said Dick. What do you mean? Asked Katie. Dude, The last time we came out here, there were two people movers and two small carts, right? I mean, the garage was full, said Dick. It's been a few months since we were out here, but that's the way I remember it, said Kyle. Are you done with your water? Katie has to, you know what, said Dick. Oh, yeah. Here you go, said Kyle, handing his empty bottle to Dick. We'll leave you some privacy, said Dick, handing the bottle to Katie. Let's walk up to the doorway and then you can catch up. No problem. I won't leave a mark, said Katie, waving them off. Kyle plugged in the two carts and grabbed Donna's hand as they headed out of the little garage area and headed for the door. Do you smell something? Asked Kyle. Yeah. What is that? Asked Donna. Smells like burnt wires to me, said Dick. Yeah, that was what I was thinking, said Kyle. You got a light? I mean, other than these pain-in-the-ass yellow floor lights? Asked Dick. Let there be light, said Kyle as he clicked the pen light from his shirt pocket. Uh-oh, said Dick. What does that mean? Asked Donna. It means that something ain't right, said Dick. What's not right? Asked Katie as she walked up and grabbed Dick's arm and held tightly. Let me see that light for a second, said Dick. He pointed it at the door and walked up to the heavy steel door. Don't tell me. Dick leaned against the heavy door and it swung outward on its hinges. I feel a little pee coming out right now, said Kyle. The question is, are the missing carts out there, or are they in here somewhere? Asked Dick. The president, said Katie. What's your gut tell you, buddy? Asked Dick. It looks as though the controller here has been fried, but the burn marks are on the outside. The carts are boosted for sure, said Kyle. We gotta tell Smith, said Dick. I don't get it. There's got to be an alarm. Something that shows the door's been opened. This is not right. Something definitely, definitely not right, said Kyle, letting his nervous energy get the best of him. It should be going off right now. The door is open. Something isn't right. Okay, hold on, Kyle, said Donna, putting her arms around his neck. Look at me. Look at me. Let me know what you're thinking. 30 minutes. It will take at least 30 minutes before we can get back to warn anyone. And it's freaking 3 o'clock in the morning. We don't know who or what we're looking for, said Kyle, looking at Donna's eyes. Let's go out, said Dick. Are you insane? Asked Katie. No. The military trailers are less than 2 minutes from here in the woods. Let's go get 'em, said Dick, stepping out of the doorway into the night. I don't feel good about that. We should go back and let the others know. Come on, Dick, said Katie, stomping her foot slightly. Okay, here's the deal. Kyle, go back with Donna and ring the bell. Get Smith. We'll go to the trailers and see if we can get them to come and help. We'll catch up, said Dick. That plan sucks. I don't want to be split up, said Donna. No, no, it's a good plan. You go back with Kyle. We'll be fine. I know it. You go, said Katie, holding on to both of her hands and looking Donna in the face. You have a screwdriver? Asked Dick. Yeah. Pocket protectors have everything, dude, said Kyle. Tweak the controllers. Fly back to the complex and wake everybody up. Drive fast, said Dick. I can do that. We might smoke the controller, but it'll go faster, said Kyle. You're not climbing any hills. It shouldn't get that hot. Go, 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 said Dick. I'm on it. You be safe out there, said Kyle. Don't worry about us. I know you will anyway, but I got this, said Dick, unplugging one of the carts and backing it out into the tunnel, pointing toward the open door. Leave the porch light on, he said as Katie climbed into the cart next to him. He stabbed the throttle and the cart disappeared into the moonlit night. Donna began to cry and hold on to Kyle's shoulder as he lifted the seat of the first cart and used his pocket screwdriver to turn up the maximum amperage the controller could deliver. He lowered the seat and jumped to the next cart to turn it up as well. Let's go, he said to Donna. Hang on and buckle your seatbelt. This thing is going to fly. Donna slid into the passenger side and buckled her belt and pulled the windshield up into place. I'm with you. Let's go, she said. The cart raced along the yellow-lit tunnel road with the pedal on the floor. Come on, baby, stay together, he said, holding the wheel tightly. Do you know this road? Asked Katie as she held onto Dick's right leg with her hand gripping the loose pants. Yeah, the trailers are up here about a quarter mile at the most, said Dick. I don't suppose you want to turn the lights on, she said. Too much battery. And besides, they don't know company is coming. Smells great out here, doesn't it? He said, smiling at her. My God, you're right. The pine trees. And holy Borealis, Batman. She looked up through the trees at the rainbow ribbons racing across the night sky. She closed her eyes and calmed herself. After living under hundreds of feet of solid granite, she felt like a mouse running across the living room floor toward the kitchen. She swallowed hard as she thinned her eyes into the cool wind and hoped the cat wasn't awake. There they are. See the lights? Asked Dick. Yeah, I see 'em. I'd flash the lights a few times. They might not like surprises, said Katie. Yeah, you might be right, said Dick as he rocked the light switch on and off a few times as they passed the cafeteria trailer. The barracks are in the third one. Dick pulled up to the trailer and was met by two fully armored soldiers. They drew their sidearms and readied themselves side by side until the first one spoke. Stop and identify. I'm Dick Daring and this is Katie. We came from Site R. The door was open, said Dick, holding his hands in the air and clicking the parking brake on with his left foot. The second soldier was keying a shoulder mic and speaking quietly into it. The porch lights came on, and three more soldiers came out onto the wide deck with weapons drawn. A fourth man came out behind them, and Dick could see the sparkle of gold on his collars. Mr. Daring, out for a midnight drive? Asked the officer. No, sir. Out to get some reinforcements. The blast door has been compromised. Two carts are missing. Someone's in there, uninvited, said Dick, unusually agitated. Sergeant, sound general quarters. I want the squad on deck in 3 minutes, barked the officer. Yes, sir, said one of the soldiers in the back, and he ran back into the barracks trailer. Do you have communications with them inside? Asked Dick. Yes, said the officer. Get Agent Smith. Call him right now, said Dick. Who is he? Asked the officer. Secret Service Agent Smith. He's on the president's detail. Do it now, shouted Dick, like he was barking orders at the officer. Easy there. I'll find out what's going on. Why don't you come inside and get out of the night air? Asked the officer. Don't be offended if I pass up your fine offer, sir, but I have friends waiting on me. I gotta go, said Dick, stabbing the throttle and turning hard out into the night. Hold your fire. He's on our side. Get me a ride up here right now, said the captain. Men began stomping out of the trailer, putting on their helmets and assembling on the dark asphalt in front of the deck of the barracks trailer. An engine rumbled to life behind the trailer, and within seconds a Humvee came sliding between the two trailers to stop near the troops gathering in rows. Sergeant, be ready to go in 5 minutes. I will return in a few. Driver, catch that cart, if you can, said the captain. Yes, sir, said the corporal as he pulled the vehicle into drive while the captain closed the 1-inch thick door on the passenger side. The vehicle roared into the night, with roll bar and headlights turning everything white in front of them. Within 1 minute they could see the cart ahead of them. The Humvee easily overtook the small electric cart. Force them off the road. I want that cart stopped. Try not to hurt them, said the captain. Yes, sir, said the corporal as he hugged the left side of the narrow asphalt road. The pine branches were slapping the bulletproof windshield as he slowed down to match the cart's speed. Sir, he's cutting me off. Just give them a push, said the captain. Our bumper's too high. If I get too close, we're going to suck that cart right under our wheels, said the corporal. They'll get out of the way, said the captain. The corporal had his wheels right up against the tree line, and still the 3-foot-tall right wheel was just behind the center of the cart. He figured if he could trap the cart under the wheel without running completely over it, he pulled closer. Oh, my God, Dick, they're right on our ass, cried Katie as she gripped his shoulder. Just a bit further. Hold on, said Dick in a flash of driving skill not unlike one would see on a professional karting track. The cart flashed to the right across the road and disappeared from sight into the night between the trees. Oh, God, don't let us die, said Katie. These babies are way too tight for them to get through, but we can cut across to the doorway. Hold on tight. This is just like kart racing, said Dick, snapping the wheel back and forth to miss the trees. What the hell, said the corporal, slamming on the brakes, but skidding far beyond where the cart had made its detour. Back up, barked the captain, and keep it on the road. Don't hit a tree. Yes, sir, said the corporal, fighting with the large steering wheel and the darkness behind the vehicle. A tree snapped the rearview mirror off the driver's door. Christ, man, be careful. Where did they go? Snapped the captain. There. They went through the trees there. We can't follow in this thing, said the corporal. Go forward a little further up the road. There should be an opening to the right, said the captain. Ha! See, I told you we could make it. They're either with us or they can suck wind, said Dick as he darted the cart into the doorway and down to the garage on the right. Hurry, let's switch carts to the one Kyle tweaked. Go, 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 said Dick, pushing her out of the right side of the cart. They jumped over to the other cart, and Dick yanked the cord out of the wall plug. Easy now. Shh, he said to the cart as he turned it and backed it up and turned again to head out into the tunnel. Yes, sir, said the corporal as he put the vehicle back into drive and pressed down on the accelerator. The Humvee lurched forward and took the center of the narrow asphalt road through the trees. Within less than a minute, they reached the side road that led to the doorway. He turned the wheel and headed down the even narrower side road for a few hundred feet. The sheer bluff of Raven Rock Mountain loomed in front of them, and there in the wall was the doorway. They got in, sir. I can see the dust in the headlights, he said. The captain opened his door and dropped to the ground outside the door. He drew his sidearm and carefully pulled the massive door open. He stepped inside. The corporal joined him, and they looked forward into the blackness. He, too, drew his weapon. I don't like caves, said the corporal. Suddenly, from deep within the ground came a low rumble. The door began to swing back and forth on its massive hinges. Dust fell from the ceiling of the tunnel, and like a covey of birds jumping in front of them, Dick and Katie's cart came flashing out of the right side of the tunnel and began racing away from them in the darkness. There were no lights. There was no shadow. The rumble became the sound of a locomotive, and the two military men began to lose their balance. And then the shot rang out. Jesus, man, I gave no order to shoot. Stow that weapon, shouted the captain as they braced themselves against the walls of the tunnel. I gotta get out of here, screamed the corporal as he bolted for the open door, falling to the ground outside. The massive door swung closed on his right foot, crushing it. He yelled out in pain as the captain struggled to push the door back open and rescue him from its jaws. Let's go, corporal, said the captain, dragging him forward so the next swing of the door wouldn't get him again. The quaking continued for what seemed like a minute or more as the planet struggled to free itself of its old body of rock and metal. The two men stayed on the ground and waited for the ground to settle down. Come on, stand on your good foot, and we'll get you back to the station, said the captain, shouldering the corporal. What the hell? They're shooting at us, said Dick as he crouched low in the seat and kept his foot on the accelerator. This is more like it. I guess we're making 25 miles an hour. Woohoo! Ugh, said Katie as she gripped his shoulder. Katie? Katie? Oh, God, please, God, no. Katie, shouted Dick as he put his arm around her and felt the wetness on her right arm. It burns, said Katie. Where? Where did it hit you? Said Dick over the wind of the cart as it scraped against the right side of the wall for a second. Keep it centered, Daring, he yelled at himself. My shoulder, I can't feel my arm, she said. I can't stop. You stay with me. I'll get you there, said Dick, squeezing her shoulder to try to stop the bleeding. Go faster, said Katie, looking at his face. It'll be 15 minutes before we hit the main road. "Katie, please don't die," he wept. "Come on, you piece of shit. Give me more speed," he grunted as he pressed his foot uselessly to the floor even harder. The cart hummed smoothly through the pitch-black tunnel between the small yellow LEDs as though it was oblivious to their needs. Dick kept it between the walls and held Katie tightly against his chest. "Stay with me, baby. Tell me a story. Talk to me so I know you're with me," said Dick. "I'm here," she said weakly. "I can't believe they shot you. What the hell were they doing out there?" "This just doesn't make any sense," said Dick, gritting his teeth. "You know, I get sleepy when I'm shot," she said. "No, no, you're not getting sleepy. You need blood. I'll get you there. Hang on and stay awake," said Dick, using one hand to drive and the other to apply pressure on the hole in her right shoulder. "Don't be so loud," she said, closing her eyes. "Open your eyes. Look at me," said Dick, gently shaking her. He blinked back the tears blurring his eye, and Katie slipped softly into unconsciousness. He pressed the accelerator harder and felt the ache in his calf muscle. It just would not go any faster. In fact, it was getting slower. The cart was running out of charge. "Oh, don't you do this. Don't you crap out on me now," he said, shaking the wheel and rocking his body forward and back to get more speed out of the slowing vehicle. It was then that something caught his eye. The yellow LEDs had a gap in them up ahead in the tunnel. The cart was painfully slow now, barely making 5 miles an hour. Still, it was faster than walking, but he knew it would not last much longer. "Katie?" "Katie," he shook her gently to try to get a response from her. Her body was still warm, and he could feel she was still breathing, but it was shallow. "Okay, baby, we're going to make it. You stay with me. Stay with me," he said, straining his eyes to the dark spot in the headlights ahead. And then he saw it. He left off the accelerator and coasted the last few feet until he came up against the other cart. "Kyle! Donna!" he shouted into the echoing tunnel. There were no sounds. "Okay, baby, we gotta change vehicles. Come on, come on," he said, lifting her in his arms and walking sideways to the next cart abandoned by Kyle and Donna. He turned the key and stepped on the accelerator. The cart began to move slowly at first, and then it picked up speed. Within a few seconds, he could feel the wind on his face as the cart reached 10 miles an hour. It bounced. "Baby, it bounced. The batteries have some charge left. We're going to make it," he said, holding Katie's head in his lap while her limp body lay across the seat. He held his hand over the wound in the back of her shoulder. Within a few minutes, he reached the main road and did not slow down as he hopped down into the well-lit road and turned the wheel to the left to maintain his speed. "Less than a mile, baby. Hang in there," he said, steadying the cart in a straight line down the road. He could see the water treatment plant a half a mile ahead. He remembered the hospital was in Building A, which was the first building to the left of the plant. He knew it was about 5 a.m., but surely someone would be at the front desk. He swung the cart slowly around the corner and aimed the cart straight for the front glass doors of the hospital. He extended his left leg out of the cart as it slowly rolled up to the double doors. He jammed the parking brake on and ran around the cart to scoop Katie up in his arms. Her head fell against his shoulder as he used his back to push open the doors and enter the medical facility. "Hey, I need some help here," he shouted into the amber-lit waiting room. Within seconds, a male nurse emerged and immediately ran back to get a gurney. He opened the large wooden door and locked it open as he lowered the gurney and helped Dick lower Katie's limp body onto the mattress. He lifted the gurney to full height and began pushing it down the hallway, with Dick leaving his hand on the frame following closely. "How long since the injury?" asked the nurse as they pushed together toward the trauma center elevator. "About 40 minutes, plus or minus," said Dick. The nurse slapped a metal panel on the wall, and a light near the ceiling began blinking. The elevator door opened wide for the gurney. They rolled inside, and the door slid quietly closed. The elevator lurched slightly as it began to climb to the second floor of Building A. "Let's go," he said as the doors opened. There were two more people in scrubs waiting at the elevator door. The one with a stethoscope put it against her chest. "Get her unit of plasma going here. Type her and hook her up to vitals. Let's go, people. I want her in surgery in 5 minutes," he shouted. He turned to Dick and began to talk, but Dick was still in a fog. He felt like he'd been in a wreck with the dull throbbing in his head from the helmet bouncing off the roll cage. "Hey, I'm Dr. Jeppers. The bullet is still in there, but it looks like it missed the important stuff. She's lost a lot of blood, and she is in shock." "She's pregnant," said Dick. "That's good information. Thank you for that. You need to sit down right there, and I will be back as soon as I can," said Dr. Jeppers. "I need to make a call. I need a phone," said Dick. "Talk to that nurse over at that counter. Right now, I'm going to save her life," said Dr. Jeppers, spinning on his heels and jogging for the surgery scrub room. Dick walked over to the counter as the nurse looked up from her computer screen. "Did you come in with the victim?" she asked, looking directly at him. "Yes, ma'am," he said. "I need some information," she said. "Yeah, okay, but first I need a phone," he said, putting his hands on the counter. "Are you bleeding?" she asked, looking at his hands. "No, it's not my blood," he said, looking at the dried blood on his hands and his shirt sleeve. "There's a bathroom right there," said the nurse, pointing behind him to the right. "Wash your hands, and I'll let you use this phone." "Okay, okay," he said, leaping into the restroom and closing the door. He pulled the hot water handle with his left hand and the soap dispenser with his right. In a minute, he had the blood washed from his hands as he watched the water in the sink turn red and then run clear. He dried his hands and tossed the paper towels in the trash. He pulled the door open and walked back up to the counter. "Phone," he said. "Here you go." "It won't reach outside," she said. He quickly pressed the zero and put the phone to his head and waited for an answer. "Secret Service, please."